This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2. Numero dos of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We got a lot to get to. Joel Klatt says Nebraska is going to go 10-2. We got that clip to play here in just a minute. And he's got a couple of key games to stand out to him. Do Jake and I agree about 10-2? Doesn't seem likely right off the top, although it can obviously happen. Just freaking look at SMU and Indiana last year. But what are the most important games of the year? They're going to dictate 6-6, 8-4, 9-3, 7-5, 10-2. And the like. Kenny Wilhite is going to join us at 12:30. That interview will now be at 12:30 as well. But before we dive into those topics, light that candle. Jake, again, I want to thank everyone at The Ticket for being on site at the inaugural Carriker Chronicles football camp yesterday. Nick and AD were there, the drive show, then Steve Taylor, you, DP. Appreciate everyone who swung by. Got y'all t-shirts. Does the t-shirt fit nicely, my friend?
Absolutely.
You know why? Yeah. You know why? Because it's a father figure, not a dad bod, my friend. All right, dude. What'd you think of the camp? What were your impressions? And did you have a good time?
Oh, absolutely. It was very, very cool out there at Lincoln Youth Football Fields. Like, I've already seen around town a couple of those shirts popping up. So, you know, it was very successful and just is very well organized. A lot of star power out there. And you know, it's just, it's awesome to be a small part of it, to be out there to see what was going on there. And you know, I want to thank you because it's just really cool. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done throughout life and everybody kind of finds their own things that kind of draws them. But for me, I think it's always very impactful to be able to provide a memory for a core memory, maybe for, young people, and specifically maybe create Husker fans as part of that as well for me. But in general, you know, That's what was really touching about it, is that these are memories that these kids are going to have. They're going to get to go back from summer and talk about what they did, and that day will be part of it. So I think that it was phenomenal. I think a big moment in a lot of people's lives.
I want to thank everybody who was involved. I mentioned some of this the first hour, but I want to make sure I thank everybody that was involved. There was almost 50 people, I believe 48 was the exact number, who helped with the camp in some way, shape, or form. So thank you to each and every one of you. I did mention this. There was 35 coaches there. And again, several of them played at a high level, coached at a high level. But I appreciate each and every person, the high school coaches, the youth coaches, everyone who came and volunteered, dedicated their time. All right. And it was kind of one of those things where I think I was – chatting with it was Nate at Channel 8 afterwards. He's like, why do something like this? And we did it where we lived a couple of years ago, and the idea was nobody'd ever done something like that there before. I'm just going to be blunt. I had seen divisiveness in the youth sports community there. It's crazy. If you're not involved in youth sports, if you've been around it, a lot of times it brings people together. A lot of times it can unfortunately have the opposite impact. And I was like, man, I just want to I reached out to every single high school coach, reached out to as many people as I could because I wanted to bring everyone together. That was the idea, something for the community, for the kids, bring people together, hopefully make a positive impact. So when we moved here, youth sports is friendlier here than it was there. So that's a good thing, all right, because this should be all about the kids. And for me, I was like, man, if it's going to be about the kids, let's hopefully do something where they learn some football, they get to be around some really cool people, they get to have fun, and meet some really cool people, get some autographs, and create a memory, like you said, that hopefully sticks with them for quite a while. All right. You know, it's funny, the things that we do and don't remember sometimes. My wife doesn't always appreciate the things that I don't remember. Okay. But when I was in second grade, they did like a raffle drawing at our school. And if your name got called, you got taken home that day on a fire truck. My name got called out of everybody in the elementary school. I remember it plain as day to this day. Riding home on that fire truck, they turned on like the alarm, and not for very long, but for like 10 seconds, turned it on. And to this day, that kind of stuck with me. And it's a very cool thing. And so, you know, you never know the impact that something's going to have on someone, but I'm kind of hoping it's something that brings the community together. hopefully the kids, like you said, hopefully it's a core memory that sticks with them, at least for a while, if not hopefully long term. And it's something that can have a positive impact in the community going forward. Several people asked me afterwards, is this going to become a yearly thing? And yeah, that is the plan, for it to be a yearly thing, especially since people seem to enjoy it. I will say this. The one thing I would like to see different next year, I want to see more girls. So we had a great turnout. Thank you to everyone who came. 260 kids registered. One kid, the parent, messaged us the morning of that the last minute something happened, they couldn't be there. So 259 kids at the camp, just over 250, four girls. That's awesome. Now, the Carrickers brought two of them. Okay. I want to see more girls at the camp next year. All right. It was awesome, the amount of boys and girls that showed up. But I just want to see, because I love the idea, you know, Matt Rule's girls camp that he has, and LYF is growing girls flag football. And I think that's a cool thing. I'm partial. I've got five girls, you know, actually I've got two of them who really love football. I've talked about that previously on the show, but it was awesome. I appreciate it. I want to say thank you to the coaches and everyone who was involved. All right. Time to talk about the big boys. 10-2. Lock it in. What's your prediction? 10-2? I'm going to hold you to this for eternity, Jake. Yes or no?
I would say no at this point.
All right. You got the Joe Klatt clip ready?
I do.
All right. Go ahead and roll it, my friend.
Nebraska is going to check in at number 10. They were right there in a bunch of games last year. They went 2-5 in one score games. Can they turn it around? Yeah, they probably can. They're going to have a returning quarterback in Dylan Raiola, who was just a true freshman. So, yeah, you could say he made a lot of mistakes last year. But remember, you get some experience going and you get the continuity of having your coach back now for Matt Rule. I think that they can probably take a little bit of a jump. You look at their year last year, it was progress. Year two with Rule was almost really good, except for those one score games, which I know you could be saying forever for Nebraska, but they snapped that seven year streak without a bowl. That's progress. And then historically for Matt Rule, year three has been a jump. You look at what he did at Temple, what he did at Baylor. He won at least 10 in year three at both locations. So is that a possible jump this year? You know, he's got an experienced quarterback. They upgraded at the wide receiver position from last year. Dane Key in from Kentucky, Hunter from Cal. They got some O-line help amongst their transfers. And then on defense, the front seven has to replace some really good players, whom I was very impressed with a year ago. They played really well, in particular, even in a loss against Ohio State in the middle of that defensive line. But there's a lot of experience in that secondary still. To me, now it comes down to schedule. They've got a real shot to be 7-1 in their first eight games going into November. Now, will they be? I'm not sure. They're going to have to win some of those close games, which historically has been a real issue for Nebraska. And then November doesn't seem that difficult. USC, probably their most difficult. At UCLA, bye week. At Penn State, clearly their toughest game. And then an Iowa game, which is obviously going to be huge for them late in the year. The key game for me is that USC game. They have that Michigan game early. Do they have to win that one? Probably not. Do they have to beat Penn State? Probably not. But then you look at that November 1st SC game, and that's the one that I'll be kind of looking at. And then you look at the ending of their schedule. If they can get past USC, even if Michigan were to beat them, even if Penn State were to beat them, now you look at that Iowa game, and now you're like, okay, you know, do we have a chance at 10-2? I think 10-2, Nebraska probably goes.
All right. So a few things here. I was making notes because every time you hear something, you tend to take something new out of it, even if you've heard it before. So here's the notes that I took while he was talking. And obviously, I'd heard that clip before. Year three, Matt Rule's never won less than 10 games in year three. At Temple, 10-2. Baylor, 11-1. I thought that was an interesting take. Now, in order to go 10-2, and to be clear, I'm not saying we have to go 10-2. I'm not predicting us to go 10-2. I feel really good about 8-4. I feel like 9-3 is potentially achievable. I mean, Indiana went 11-1, so you never know. But we're talking about 10-2 because Joel Klatt thinks Nebraska is going to go 10-2. He believes Nebraska, in order for this to happen, has to be 7-1 after the first eight games, which I believe is accurate. If we're going to even attempt 10-2, all right, and you can text in and say, why are we talking about 10-2? We just won seven games last year for the first time since 2016. I understand. But I actually think Joel's really good at what he does. Like Josh Pate, Joel Klatt, those are my top two go-tos for national college football. And obviously he's clearly talking about Nebraska here. And then USC, he kind of outlined as the most important game on the schedule, in his opinion. So we'll dive into some of those things in a minute. Let's start with, he's always gone and always won at least 10 games, Matt Rhule, in year three. I knew that, but I hadn't really thought about it before. How much does that factor in to you think the odds of Nebraska at least winning 9 games, if not 10 this year? Like, when you're factoring in, oh, okay, all right, we know about the jump, and now you actually hear this said out loud, this specific stat. How much does that factor in, on your opinion, as to whether Nebraska wins 8, 9, 10 games or more, Jake?
It factors in significantly as far as the offseason optimism that a lot of these things are going to fall in the right direction. Nebraska's got, a roster of not quite great players, but a lot of good players. And so in order to do that, we're going to have to see them develop into and have a few of them turn into great players. And so, you know, there are reasons to believe, you know, they could and could not. But no, this is a huge reason why I continue to say it, is that Nebraska did not hire Matt Rhule for 2023. Nebraska hired Matt Rhule for 2025 and beyond, because that's what his resume speaks to. That's what it says, you know, he's going to do. And so here we are. And I think everybody feels like you're in a comfortable position that they could take that next jump. And it's not just that it usually happens that way. So the first 2 years at Nebraska, kind of somewhat similar to kind of what happened at Baylor and Temple. Now, Baylor and Temple, they had worse year ones. They had, you know, more of a tough thing to take over there. But kind of, it's also...
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Just kind of the steady, hey, year one wasn't what you wanted to be. Year two, just kind of hovering just above 500. And then year three is the breakaway. We've stayed on pace this far. Let's not change now.
So let me play devil's advocate. Because, all right, Temple and Baylor, he won 10 games or more in year three of both those places. He also had a bigger jump from year one to year two of both those places, because he won 1 game and 2 games at both those places. And then you could argue had a year two jump to 6 wins and 7 wins. Now, we got to 7 wins last year, but it wasn't as big of a jump from year one to year two, because we went from 5 wins to 7 wins. And technically in the regular season, it was 6 wins. That you've got to factor in the bowl game to get to 7. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't just try to look at the corner of the picture that we like and we want to see and hear and look at. I try to look at the whole picture. Does that kind of change anything at all? Because Nebraska, the cupboard was not anywhere near as bare as it was at Temple, and the situation was not anywhere near as dire as it was at Baylor. So does that factor how you view any of this at all? Since the floor wasn't as low here at Nebraska year one. The jump wasn't quite as high as in year two. Does that factor into how you look at this potential year three jump or not?
Maybe a little bit, not too much. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think you're still just kind of on pace. I think if anything, you might look at the conference record in year two for Nebraska. That might bother me more so than anything, because the conference record at Temple and Baylor, they got to 4 wins. This year, they got, you know, this past year, Nebraska got to 3. And that's not a whole big difference, but, you know, it's kind of the small difference you look at that maybe could rattle the plan. I don't see it as big of a deal. Maybe you'd feel better, but I just didn't want to go through the 1-11 or 2-10 season to begin with. So it's one time I'll say I was kind of happy with 5-7, at least as compared to those year ones for Matt Rhule before.
Yeah, I think that it's hard, because let's be real. it's all fruit, but we are comparing apples and oranges because the AAC and the Big 12 is different than the Big 10. And the Big 10 is bigger, different than the Big 10 was back then even. So while it's all still fruit, it is apples and oranges. So is there's not a little bit of projection here. There's a whole lot of projection here, and we all know that. Here's a couple of things. Like the defensive line has been talked about quite a bit as far as you've got to replace Nash. You've got to replace Ty. You've got to replace Jamari Butler. He's not talked about as much. But we have zero returning starters from a year ago. Not a whole lot coming back from the two deep. Okay, Cam Lenhardt has started some games. We've got some other guys who started games, but not a whole lot who started games in the Big Ten, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean they can't be good football players. I hadn't started my first game, Jake, until I started my first game. You know, everybody's yeah. got to go through the process. I'm not saying they can't be good football players. I'm just saying it's fair to say we don't know what to expect out of them as we sit right here, right now. But here's something that I think has been overlooked. And this isn't just the running back. This isn't just the offensive line. This is the running back and the offensive line and the passing game, because it all goes hand in hand when it affects directly the running game. If you don't have a vertical threat in the pass game, you can load the box. If your offensive line ain't blocking, if your back ain't that good, it all goes hand in hand to this stat I'm about to drop. All right, the top two rushing performances since 2016 over the course of a season. All right, Divine Ozigbo, 2018, 1,082 yards. Okay, and Anthony Grant in 2022, 915 yards. Since 2016, just three running backs, not 1,000 yards, since 2016, just three running backs have eclipsed 750 yards. We've got to have a run game, and it's obviously not going to be quarterback centrally focused with Dylan Raiola. But even when we had a run game, it was Adrian. It was Luke McCaffrey when he got those couple of starts. It has to be centered around the running back. We've got to have an effective run game, starting with the offensive line, continue to the running back, which will then balance out play action, pass game. The pass game sets up the run game and the like. This is something that I don't think has been talked about enough, and this is going to have a huge impact on the pressure put on Raiola. Can teams load the box? Can they blitz? Can they not? How balanced do we have to keep defenses? How on their toes can we keep them? And if we can run the ball with the freaking running back and win the battle up front in the trenches, that's going to impact everything on the entire offense. I don't feel like that's been talked about enough. What say you, Jake?
Well, I kind of want to throw a question at you, because I agree with you. They averaged around 130 yards rushing last year. That was 96 in the country. Obviously, not very good. You want to get a lot better than that. And I thought, like, okay, what's a fair goal to aspire to get better? And you hope the whole offense gets better. But I said, you know, like 150. That's a 20-yard jump. That's a pretty good jump. But would that be enough? Because historically, teams, if you get to 200 yards rushing, you're generally going to win a football game. Now, we get to these 57-55 shootouts in the Big 12. There's just yards going everywhere. I don't know what the stats say on that. But for Nebraska, 200 yards is kind of that mark. And I'm not going to expect 200 yards from this offense. That would just be, that'd be too big of a jump. Do you think 150, 20 more yards than they had last year is a good goal or an achievable goal?
Yes and yes. I think it's achievable, and I think it's a good goal. I'm still curious what exactly the offense is going to look like. Holgorsen, I mean, he said it's not going to be his typical offense in the past, a little bit more pro-style-esque. All right. And 2 years ago, we had the number two rushing offense in the Big Ten. Then we dropped to 96 in the country. So where are we? Who are we? What are we going to be? What is the focus? Now, if you know Holgorsen's history, yes, he prefers to pass the ball. But his run game, they average over 150 yards a game historically throughout his career, his offenses, and actually way more than Nebraska averaged a season ago. So for me, 150 yards is not only achievable, it is the bare minimum of what I would consider acceptable for us to even try to be a balanced offense. And if we can have at least 150 rush yards a game, I think that's a huge difference. You're like, oh, it's only 20 yards. That's two first downs. You have any idea how big an impact two first downs can make in a game, especially when are those first downs? When do they come? Can you run the ball when you have to run the ball? Third and short, fourth and short, third and goal, fourth and goal, first and 10. Is it second and 9 or second and 3? So for me, it all goes hand in hand. And this is one of the big impact makers, the run game and how it affects everything. Now, all of a sudden, you control the clock. Now, all of a sudden, your defense is fresh. Now, all of a sudden, if you don't have a whole lot of guys, let's say we have a really good three defensive linemen, but the depth isn't quite there. It might be. I don't know. But it's not there yet because we do have question marks. Now, you don't have to play as many plays. Now, all of a sudden, the defense can be fresher. It all goes hand in hand. Real quick. What do you, and we did a segment about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on this. What do you consider, if you had to pick the four most important games on this schedule? And I've actually changed my mind from that day. And you changed my mind, and then Joel changed my mind as well, actually, to what you had said that day. What do you consider to be the four most important games if Nebraska is going to get to 10-2? And what is the most important game? Because Joel said USC. What is the most important game? I will say this. When he said November is not that tough, what is he talking about? That is the one thing I was like, I don't know what you're talking. I'm not on the same page with you as that. But go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I think he got lost in his words there. He said, November's not very tough. USC is the toughest by far. Oh, Penn State, that's the toughest by far. So I think he just kind of got lost there.
Yeah.
But it will be difficult. When you narrow it down to four, that is even difficult because then you almost have to concede defeat to Penn State, right? If you beat Penn State, and I always argue that could be the biggest for Nebraska's momentum if you take a step away out of the Big Ten footprint. That's like a national victory that everybody's talking about that could, you know, really change things. So, but I think if we're talking about staying along those lines of getting to 10-2, you do somewhat concede defeat there. And so I do think USC, Iowa, got to be included in there. I've talked about, I think Minnesota is a big one. I don't want to underlook them. Michigan's not one I would necessarily concede defeat to, and then Cincinnati, but that's five. So I got to cut one out. I would say, and this is almost just going to assume that you beat Cincinnati, but I would say Michigan, Minnesota, USC, and Iowa would be the kind of the swing games, I think, this year for Nebraska.
You make a great point. There's six games that stick out to me immediately, just going through the schedule in order that we'll play these teams. Cincinnati, Michigan, Minnesota, USC, Penn State, Iowa. Those are the six. If I'm going to narrow it down a little bit, because I had Minnesota in here. I think that we got to freaking beat them. And I don't want to hear, if we lose to them, oh, we had to go to Maryland, then we had to go on a short week and play at Minnesota on a Friday night, because that's what we're going to hear. No excuses. That being said, I'm going to go Cincinnati. We should win. I think about if we don't, right out the gate. Okay, so Cincinnati, I'm going to go Michigan. There's a certain level of disrespect to saying, yeah, we're not going to bring our head coach to that one, and probably a true freshman quarterback in your house, and we still think we're going to win. Plus, it's a big brand name, obviously. So Cincinnati, Michigan. I'm going to take Minnesota out of this one, which I'm mad at myself for, but if we're going to narrow it down, we got to narrow it down. USC would be the third one, and we are getting USC at home after they will have played what will be three top 15 teams, at least what we expect teams to be in the preseason rankings anyways. So the fourth one, you're right. Like, it's Penn State or Iowa. It's like, all right, if we beat Penn State, that's a big deal. Kind of like if we lose to Cincinnati, that's a big deal. I'm just going to go with Iowa, okay, for now. I know. You can get mad at me if you want, but I'm going to go with Iowa. So the four games are Cincinnati just because we need to win it. And it's the first game, and it's so unpredictable. Michigan, USC, because it is winnable. It is winnable. All right, we'll have more info as November 1st and that game rolls around, obviously. But then Iowa. All right, official prediction. Does Nebraska go 10-2?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't bet my house on it. I'd love to see it. I do think, I mean, I'm kind of with you, though. I feel good about this team getting to 8 wins. I think 9 wins is very achievable. I wouldn't be completely floored by 10-2. I mean, I'd be happy. But, you know, I'd be really happy. Yeah. I wouldn't be so completely shocked by it. But it would be hard to bet on it.
Again, I'm just going to remind people, I am not predicting this. I'm also going to remind you, Indy frickin' Anna went 11-1 last year. Like, what is going to happen? I'm not going to predict 10-2. I feel really good about 8-4. The real question is 9-3. That's the real question. Yes or no on 9-3. I feel like that's a more fair, harder question.
Well, to kind of round it back to the most important game, it'll come down to Iowa. It always does.
All right. We have to answer, though. No ducking it.
It will come down to Iowa. I agree. With my confidence level, again, if I did have to bet the house, I'd probably go under 9.
I was going to say 49% of me says 9 wins. So that means 51% says 8-4. And again, to be clear, I'd be all right with that. Like, we're moving in the right direction. Everyone keeps talking about the jump. That's great. I'm all on board for the jump. I feel really good about 8-4, though. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.